Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2019 Home Education Conference, held in Logan, Utah.
I'm Jessica Croker. I have 6 kids. I've homeschooled since I've never sent them away to school. They've always been homeschooled. My oldest is 19 and just finished her first year at BYU and is home for the summer. You know, I thought that the ultimate goal of homeschooling was just to get my kids into college. And I thought, yeah, I've arrived. Someone got into college, right? But just because they get into college doesn't make them perfect. Right? And we still are struggling. Now we're in this adjustment phase of her being home for the summer and trying to figure out, like, are you a kid? Are you a grown-up? Like, how? You need to get a job? Right? All of this. It's a whole new thing to navigate. Right? Another part of parenting. Anyway, this series of classes, we've called the Fueling Your Fire Seminar because that's what we need as parents. We give all day long. And if we are not putting more fuel on our fire, it's going to burn out. We won't have anything left to give. And so that's what we've been talking about. The first thing that we really need to understand to take care of ourselves and to fuel our fire is who we are. We need to be self-aware. We need to know who we are as children of God and as unique individuals. And we need to realize that the chatter that's always going on in our heads is part of the human experience. And we don't have to believe everything that those voices are saying. That we get to make a choice in how our life is directed. And it's our internal experience that really determines the quality of our life. It's not the things happening outside of us. And that's where our greatest powers of agency are in the choices of what to focus on and where we can redirect our thoughts, right? Things will always come in unbidden. But every emotion that we feel is created by something that we're focusing on with our minds. And our emotions fuel the action that we take in our lives. And often we do things because we think it will make us feel better. And that's really what we want. We want to feel a certain way. We want to feel happy. We want to feel content. And we often think that we need our children to behave in a certain way to feel that way. We need the weather to be right for us to feel a certain way. We often define those things as the things that we need, but it's so liberating to realize that we get to choose how we're going to feel by the things that we focus on. And it makes all the difference when we can start to make that shift into really open self-awareness. And so that's the first ingredient to true self-care, is to have some real, open, honest, love-centered self-awareness. And today we'll get, and this class, we'll get into the next ingredient. But I want to tell you a story first. So does anyone remember when they built the Biosphere 2 in Arizona? So they were trying to make this completely enclosed ecosystem, and they called it Biosphere 2 because Earth is Biosphere 1, right? Everything is self-supporting, and there's cycles, and it all works together. And so some scientists decided to build the biosphere in the Arizona desert, and they filled it with all the things that they would need to survive. And the scientists were going to go live inside the biosphere, I think for 2 years, without leaving. And so they have perfect soil. They created different ecosystems. There was a tundra. There was a wetland. There was farmland. There were going to be orchards. They had everything that they needed. So they had enough oxygen so that the soil was fertile. They could grow all their food. And so they started. They got into the biosphere, and they would plant trees. And they had everything they could possibly need. They had all the sunlight that they could need. They had perfect soil, composted, with all the nutrients that it would need and all the water that they could need. But what would happen is the trees would grow really rapidly. They would get to a certain height, and then they would just fall over. They could never get trees to grow and stay so that they would actually bear fruit. And it took a lot of investigation to figure out why. There's plenty of carbon dioxide in the air. There's plenty of sunlight. They've got all the water and nutrients that they need. But the trees were falling over. Do you guys know what it was that they were missing? Wind. There was no wind in this completely enclosed environment that the scientists had created. And there's several lessons that we can learn from this, right? Wind was necessary so that there was a little bit of opposition against the cell walls of those trees, so that they could stiffen up. The cell walls couldn't get strong without the wind to push against. In order to grow, we need some opposition and some stress. We're going to fall over without it. So that's lesson number one. But what I want to focus on in this talk is that the trees had needs that were not being met. They needed wind, and the wind couldn't be supplied, right? They needed that in order to survive. And we are just the same. If our needs are not being met, we will fall over. We will fall apart. So we're going to spend some time defining what our needs are. And just like these trees and the scientists, sometimes it takes some investigation and some digging. It's not always super obvious what the need is. But when we're falling apart or falling over, we can be certain that there is a need that is not being met. So here's a picture. We have crested geckos. But this is one I just got off the internet. But see, this cute little gecko has its tail flopping over. So crested geckos have a prehensile tail that they can use to grab onto things. It has a little sucker pad at the end, and they can hang from their tail. Well, when they live in an environment that doesn't have something that they can wrap their tails around, right? Their tails, they get floppy tail syndrome. Right, because their need for having something to wrap their tail around is not being met. They fall apart. They can't function properly. And there's a killer whale there. Whales in captivity get floppy fins. And it's the same reason as the trees falling over, right? They tend to swim in the same direction. And so the forces from the water are always the same. And so their fins just flop over because their need for that opposition is not being met, right? Because killer whales are designed to like swim fast through the ocean with all of those forces. And we're just the same. When our needs aren't met, we fall apart. And these are physical examples that are really obvious in the natural world. And there are physical things that happen with us, like hyperkyphosis of the spine, right? That is a physical thing where our spine wants more circulation, and so it's trying to expose more. And as we age, it'll do that. And also that we're not using all of our muscles. And so we get, you know, just kind of the same thing, like a floppy tail or a floppy fin. Humans will kind of get this same hyperkyphosis of the spine. It's the same kind of thing. It's a physical manifestation of unmet needs, right? So what does a fire need to burn? How do you start a fire? A spark, right? We need some kindling, right? And oxygen. So if we just kept putting kindling on our fire, what's going to happen? It doesn't burn for very long, and it's just like constant exhausting effort, right? You're going to always be gathering those little tiny sticks to put on that fire. Okay. And our lives are a lot like that. Sometimes we feel a little bit off and we think, oh, I know what will make me feel better. I'll just scroll Facebook, right? And that burns off pretty quickly, right? Oh, I know what will make me feel better. I'll eat something. That burns off pretty quickly. That's like throwing kindling onto our fire. But true self-care is understanding what our needs are and burning those, using those as the fuel, making sure that our needs are getting met, because those are the logs. Those are the logs. So how would you define a need? Something essential for life. Something absolutely necessary and essential. Does anyone else have an idea? Yeah. So something essential for growth. I like that. Tacking that on there. Sense of purpose. Growth and purpose, those are needs. Yes, whether we realize it or not, when a need isn't met, right, we experience the consequence of that. Just like the scientists didn't know that it was the absence of wind that was causing the trees to fall over. That's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? Like, wind would make them fall over. No, wind makes them grow. But it took some investigation, right? It wasn't totally consciously felt, but it took some investigation, but it's essential. We can't function without that. These are things that are essential. So it may take some investigation, research, experimenting, and maybe some help from other people and tools. Especially our physical needs, right? We all have generally the same kinds of needs. We need food and water and shelter. But some of us are born with different chemical constitutions and we need medicines. Those kinds of things. And we can use the help of tools and other people to help us investigate those kinds of things. But remember that you're a whole system and have needs in every area. You have physical needs, spiritual needs, mental needs, emotional needs, and social needs. Now, sometimes we think we need people or circumstances to be different, right? We define those or think about it in that way. But those aren't the kind of needs that we're going to talk about today. I want you to really be able to leave this class with a clear direction on how to define what it is that you need and be able to take responsibility for that for yourself without anyone else having to do anything differently. Mortimer Adler gave a commencement address in the 90s, maybe even earlier. And he was a professor at the University of Chicago, and he compiled the great books. But this is what he said. Needs are desires so basic that they exist without regard to what is offered in the marketplace and without an individual's comparing his own condition or possessions with those of others, right? They just exist Whereas, in contrast, wants are desires that are induced by what is offered in the marketplace and are augmented and intensified by an individual's comparing what he has with the possessions of others. Needs are absolute. Wants are relative. Needs are desires that may or may not be consciously felt, whereas wants are always consciously felt desires. It's always obvious to us what we want, because it's external and always in our face. That kind of puts us in a conundrum, doesn't it? It is impossible for anyone to be mistaken about what he or she wants. We always know what we want, right? But it is quite possible for an individual to make the mistake of thinking that he needs something when in fact he only wants it because someone else has it. Almost all of us want things we do not need and fail to want things that we do need. A man never needs anything that is not really good for him to have, but he certainly can and often does want something that is not really good for him. So what does that bring up for you? What comes to your mind when we read that? We're never going to want hardship. We're not going to say, like, sign me up for the trial. That's totally what I want. Give me all the wind. Give me a tornado. Right? Yeah. We're not going to want those things. So here in a nutshell, needs are driven internally. And when they're met, we feel satisfied. But because they're internal, often be below our ability of our cognition and our real conscious awareness, they can be harder to recognize. Wants are driven externally, but often when they're met, we just desire more. But they're always in our face. And that's the world that we live in. So I want some chocolate. If I eat some chocolate, am I going to feel satisfied? I'm just going to want more. But that goes for a lot of things, right? Material possessions, often when we get what we want, we're just ready to want the next thing. But when our needs are met, we can feel content and satisfied. So we'll go through some different psychologists' definitions of needs. And I'm sure you've been acquainted with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the foundation of that is our physiological needs: food, drink, oxygen, temperature regulation, elimination, rest, activity, sex, just our base physiological needs. And the way that his model, I don't know that Maslow really thought of it this way, but the way that his model has been used is that really, like, those are the things that must be satisfied to be able to move to the next level. And our next level are safety needs, protection from potentially dangerous objects or situations, like packs of wolves or tornadoes or physical illness. We need to be safe from germs and those kinds of things. And the threat is both physical and psychological, fear of the unknown, and just the importance of finding some routine and familiarity, like that we need to feel safe and find some safety. The next level is love and belongingness, that we have a need to receive love and give love, that we can belong to a group and trust in that, that we have families and friends. Okay, and then we have esteem needs, that we have the respect from others and a sense of self-competence. And we have cognitive needs, knowledge and understanding and curiosity and exploration and a need for meaning and predictability. We have aesthetic needs, to see beauty and recognize beauty and to find order, right? We build buildings so we can create some order to inhabit. And that comes from those aesthetic needs, right? We could just still live in tents or caves, but we like things to be comfortable and look nice. And at the top of the hierarchy is self-actualization, realizing your full potential and just becoming everything that you are capable of becoming in all of your uniqueness. These are all things that we need. And I think this is important. Maslow said, people with intelligence must use their intelligence. People with eyes must use their eyes. People with the capacity to love have the impulse to love and the need to love in order to feel healthy. Capacities clamor to be used and cease in their clamor only when they are used sufficiently. That is to say, capacities are needs. Now, in the last class, we explored our unique character strengths. Those are some of your unique capacities. And those capacities will clamor to be used unless they're being used sufficiently. It's important to realize that. You will feel like you're falling over if you're not using your strengths and talents. Those are needs that you have. How many of you have read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl? So he was a psychologist, and he was a Holocaust survivor. And when he got out, he wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. Now, in the concentration camp, none of their basic physiological needs were met. They didn't have adequate food, shelter, clothing. But there were still people that were able to survive and even thrive in that environment. Why? None of their basic foundational physiological needs were not being met. He said, there is nothing in the world, I venture to say, that would so effectively help one to survive even the worst conditions as the knowledge that there is a meaning in one's life. Now, he had a realization one day. He was outside and saw some greenery growing through the dismal concrete. And he also had an experience where he remembered his love for his wife and the connection that they had. And he found in that moment a sense of purpose and meaning in the dismal life that he was leading. And that he realized that I'm a psychologist, and I need to watch people and see how they experience this. And I can watch myself. I can practice that capacity that I have. And he found a sense of purpose and meaning in the circumstance he was in. And he noticed that people with stronger bodies, people who had never been sick, were often the ones who died first. But it was a sense of purpose and meaning that enabled people to survive that basic, fundamental need. Now, here's a list of needs from Marshall Rosenberg. He is a psychologist that founded, it's called the Center for Nonviolent Communication. But here are his list of needs that we all have. That we need connection. We need physical well-being. We need honesty. Human beings need to play and find things funny. Need peace, autonomy, some independence, and understand that I have the ability to choose and take responsibility for myself. And meaning. So this is a pretty long list, but who doesn't need to know and be known? Right? We all need that. We need touch, right? Our skin needs to be stimulated. We need to have connection with other people in a physical way and emotionally and spiritually. Here's a really simple, easy list. And Dr. Mark Hyman is just a doctor. He's written a book called Food. But I like his list. It's simple. We need real, whole, fresh food, nutrients, like vitamins and minerals, light, water, air, sleep, movement, rhythm, that sense of routine, love, connection, meaning, and purpose. That's what human beings need. Tony Robbins, he's also got a list of needs that we have, and he says, we have physiological needs, but the more important ones are these psychological needs. We need a sense of certainty, but we also need uncertainty and variety. We need a sense of significance. We need connection. We need growth. We need to know that we're making a contribution to a greater whole, a sense of service. Do these resonate with you? Does that make sense? And some of us seem to want more variety than certainty, but we need some of both. Sometimes these things tend to compete with each other. And neuroscientist Isaiah Henkel said, people experience pain when they are not fulfilling their prime needs. Your prime needs are the desires that drive you to take action in your life, the things you want beyond your physical needs. All behavior is simply an attempt to meet your prime needs. It turns out in the universe of human needs, there are three that sit at the top of the pyramid: autonomy, connection, and growth. If you're feeling helpless or experiencing any other kind of pain in life, it's because you're not meeting one or more of these prime needs. Now, if we look at that big long list from Marshall Rosenberg, or even the hierarchy of needs from Maslow, like, this makes sense. We do need to feel some independence, but we also need a sense of connection. And because we are divine beings with infinite potential, our trajectory is always toward growth. And if we're not growing, we're going to fall over. We're not going to feel fulfilled in our lives. So I want you to get out your worksheet and your handout and your guidebook and just think through these things. We have needs. We have physical needs, we have spiritual needs, we have emotional needs, we have mental needs, we have social needs. And in all of those areas, we need a sense of autonomy. We need connection. And we need growth. So I just want you to take some time and brainstorm. What would that look like? What would autonomy, what would physical autonomy, like, how does that work? What would mental connection be like? So just take some time to go through those and jot some notes. How do you do this without feeling selfish? I think that is a really important question for moms to ask. Because, right, we spend the whole morning talking about what's the difference between being selfish and self-aware, okay? And we know, we've defined what it feels like to be selfish. Being selfish is having that I-it mentality. It's having that everything outside of me is an object acting on me. And sometimes we can actually go about our service in a really selfish way, out of that sense of I have to obligation, and I'm the only one that can do this, and everything's about me. We can serve that way and go about our obligations that way. Being self-aware and stepping out of that selfish mode is really seeing ourselves as valuable as everyone else is. And the important thing to think about as the mom is that your job with little people is to help meet their needs. They can't meet their own needs. Your mom does not live with you anymore. You are the mom, right? It's your job to see to it that your needs are met. And that's what grown-ups do. Grown-ups help meet needs. And if we want children that can be really functioning, creative, adults that can contribute to the world, then we need to set the example of what grown-ups do. And grown-ups take care of themselves. It's so important. Right.
I show up for them.
Yeah.
And so the selfish thing is for me to actually do things that make me not be able to show up.
It's interesting, right? Because we can give because we should, because we're being unselfish, but then what happens? What do we have left to give?
We're depleted and we're angry.
We're completely depleted and we feel like everyone else is making us miserable.
Yeah.
And that is a selfish way to be. Because we also need the connection, right? We need autonomy and we need connection, right? And we need to realize that everyone else has these needs as well. Our children need autonomy. It's so powerful. But it took some investigation, right? It's like, I'm falling apart. I've got to figure out what my wind is. What's that missing wind? And it's a process, and that's okay. And usually I name this seminar the Unselfish Self-Care Seminar. Just because that. I think that as moms, we are always afraid of being selfish. And we don't want to be selfish. That's not what we are. That's not what our lives are about. But taking care of yourself is not being selfish. Making yourself a victim of your life is much more selfish. So we've been talking about the model, the self-coaching model, that we have circumstances that are beyond our control. They are just the facts of things as they are. And our circumstances can be the weather. They are other people. They can just be our body. Our circumstances are beyond our control. And then we have our thoughts about those things. We interpret what's happening outside of us. And those thoughts create our internal experience, our emotional reaction. And we feel that in a really physical, visceral way. And everything that happens outside of us gets internally interpreted in some kind of physical sensation that we have, right? Every emotion we feel. And those are the things that drive our actions, and our actions create the results in our lives, okay? And our results are always gonna prove our thought true. So often when we're thinking, I'm so selfish for reading my scriptures. I'm so selfish for taking this time for myself. How does that make you feel?
Guilty.
Yep. You feel some guilt. What do you act like when you're feeling guilt? Yeah, your priorities get out of whack, or you just hide or avoid things, right? And the way we actually show up in the world is pretty selfish. We're just proving it true. If we approach it as like taking care of myself, honoring my body, getting up early and reading my scriptures and going for a run is not selfish, right? This is my stewardship. I'm taking care of the stewardship Heavenly Father's given me. That's empowering. Right. Ourselves, we're not fighting ourselves. And question it, right? So when we think that thought, this is totally selfish. Taking time for myself is selfish. Is that true? Connecting with God is selfish? Question that. Because our thoughts are all optional. Okay? It's all optional. And we can say, like, what does it feel like to live with that belief? What does it feel like to keep thinking the thought that taking care of myself is selfish? What does that create for me in my life? What could I think instead? What is possible? What feels like love? What would Heavenly Father want for me to think? Does He want us to think that taking care of ourselves is selfish? Do you think? Satan does. He certainly does. And he knows that if he can get moms to fall apart and fall over, he can have a heyday, right? It makes it so much simpler for him. Needs are facts. They are absolute. They are circumstances. They may be hard to discern, but when you're thinking through these things, I want you just to think that way. It's a fact that my strength is curiosity. Okay? What am I going to think about that? What am I going to feel about that? How am I going to leverage that in my life? When our needs are met or unmet, we have sensations in our body, and they're interpreted by our thoughts and experienced as feelings. Our needs are part of our internal experience, but they're still facts. Okay, so when we're doing this work, we can just put that in the C line because it can be helpful. But often a need is a feeling that we want to feel, right? Autonomy, feeling some independence, that is a feeling that we want to create, right? A sense of growth and purpose, that is a feeling. Connection is a feeling. And how do we create those? What creates our feelings? Our thoughts. Now, that's not to say you can solve all your problems by thinking good thoughts, but it's certainly a really good first and second and third and fourth step. Now, how do we get our needs met? How do you get your needs met? Make a plan. Communication with people that are in your circle. Communication, right? Because who should meet your needs? We need to meet our own needs. Can your spouse meet your needs? Yes, praying about it. So that was the next thing. Like, who should meet our needs? You, in partnership with God. Now, one of our fundamental needs is connection, right? We're here for connection. We're here for eternal connection with our husbands, with our children, with our extended families. And so we need that. But what's connection? It's a feeling. It's something that we feel internally. Now, we also need to be honest about the things that only I can do, the things that only you can do. Because I know I've often thought, I'm the only one that can clean the toilet right. I'm the only one that can cook dinner. I'm the only one that can make all these ministering appointments and go on the visits. I'm the only one that can do this thing in my calling. Is that true? It's not a bad thing that I can't do everything. Now, I went through a lot of guilt. You know, I have 6 children, and my youngest child, for a few years, I just thought, oh, that poor neglected child. Because my oldest, when she was 3, or when she was not even 3 yet, she brought me The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe off the shelf and said, can you read this to me? I was like, sure. Because I thought that she would just want, like, her attention span would last a couple paragraphs and she would be off. We ended up reading the whole book in a couple of days. And I read to that girl for hours and hours and hours. That oldest only child. I would read while I was nursing all the other babies. But then I have this caboose who I did not sit and read for hours and hours. I was just like, oh, such a bad mom for this little girl. And then one day, she was sitting on the couch with 3 brothers, and they were taking turns reading. She had read and had read to her all of the same books that my older kids did. I just didn't do it. And that's okay. She had siblings that could do that. Her experience was just as rich as my older kids. And I didn't need to be the one doing all of it. That was okay. But who can eat healthy food for you? Can anyone else do that for you? Nope. Who can say your prayers for you? No one else. Who can read your scriptures for you and study and connect with God? You need to be really honest about the things only you can do. It's so powerful to realize that your needs that must be met in order for you to function and serve and take care of your family, most of them are things that you have to do yourself. No one else can do those for you. And so we need to be really honest about that. Yep. I think it's super powerful to realize that, you know, there are things that only we can do, and that's part of the reason we're on this earth. Yeah, we're here to serve, but our kids are going to leave our homes. We need to know who we are. Thank you, guys.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.